item 13.
Item number 13 is the consideration of adoption of waste discharge requirements for the Los Osos Water Recycling Facility, San Luis Obispo County. And so initially we're going to have Dave LaCaro of our staff provide the report. And we do have a few cards. I also wanted to point out for everyone's understanding, let's see, we don't have any special time requests for this one.
No.
Okay. I was getting ahead of myself. So. Dave, you ready to go there?
Dr. Hunter has something to
say
as to her participation on this item. Dr. Hunter?
Actually, I think Frances wanted to go first and then
I'll go first. Yeah. I just want to announce that Dr. Hunter is a resident of Los Osos, but I have advised her and the board that she does not have a legal conflict and can participate in this matter under the Fair Political Practices Act. She's considered the same as the public generally and therefore does not have to recuse herself on this matter.
So I would like to add, just for the record, that I am able to consider the information, the evidence, and comments that will be made on this matter and consider it in a fair and unbiased manner. And I look forward to participating in this hearing item today. Thank you.
Okay.
Dave LaCaro.
Thanks, Robert.
Thanks.
This is on loud enough to check.
Is the light on?
Is it? Yeah, the light's on. It's good to go.
Try this one over here.
Hello. Well, good morning, yeah. Thanks, Roger. Okay, good morning, Chair Young, members of the board. My name is David LaCaro. I work in the Point Source Group. I'm the lead for developing waste discharge requirements for San Luis Obispo County's Los Osos Water Recycling Facility. And today I'm pleased to present proposed waste discharge requirements for your review and approval. This order has been a 30-year culmination of agency and public efforts to address an ongoing septic system discharges and associated pollution in the upper aquifer. Today I'll be discussing the waste discharge requirement background, the county's proposed facility, staff's proposed order. We'll be talking about public comment that we've received, our staff responses, as well as our recommendation for today. So as a background, waste discharge requirements were adopted for Los Osos Community Services District in 2003. And these 2003 waste discharge requirements were used as a foundation for the proposed order that you have in front of you today. The proposed facility at the time was an extended aeration, denitrification, filtration, and disinfection system, which is very similar to what we see the county proposing. We've made some minor updates and modifications to the 2003 waste discharge requirements, which can be found in Attachment 3. I've made it in a table, easy for you folks to take a look at. Many of these modifications were based on statewide and region-wide standards and policies, basically just blowing the dust off of 2003 waste discharge requirements and giving it a facelift, if you will. So the county submitted its report of waste discharge application in August of 2009. The application included its preliminary facility plan that identified its treatment components, the discharge locations, and potential reuse locations. I think it's important here to point out that these potential reuse locations are not specified in the order, and that the county does not have authorization to reuse this recycled water at this time. This figure here, and it's a little dull, unfortunately, but I think you get the gist of it. it shows the entire wastewater project area. Let's see if I'm good at this here. That's outlined here. This includes the service area. It does show, however, the exempted areas, which are Martin Tract area, Bayview Heights, and at this point, which is regulated under a different order, is Monarch Grove. The service area includes a population of approximately 15,000 people. The wastewater treatment facility and water recycling facility is going to be located at the Jacomazi property, which is located 2 miles east of the community core. The project is going to include approximately 45 miles of collection system, which is highlighted in blue. You can barely see it, but it's within the community there. There are going to be 9 major pump stations, which are shown in the yellow squares. You can see them kind of on the outer rims here and here. There are going to be 13 pocket pump stations, which are located a little closer to the back bay there. There'll be 2.5 miles of force main, which will come from the service area to the wastewater treatment plant, and that's really right around in this area here. Then that'll go down to the wastewater treatment plant. There are 2 proposed disposal areas, the Broderson site and the Bay Ridge site. And those are leach field locations. You'll also see highlighted in green the county's potential areas for recycled water reuse. Again, highlighting that these are the potential areas. No agreements have been made at this point. However, we see that the ag areas are on the eastern fringe of the community core. And then you'll see the urban areas, which are scattered throughout. And these are turf, irrigation areas, school sites, and such.
David, what's the difference in treatment level for recycled versus recharged water, if any?
Well, those standards are specifically given or dictated by Department of Public Health. With respect to reuse is what the county is will in the future here propose, would have to essentially be tertiary treatment depending on the type of use or what they plan on irrigating or using the water with. With recharge, it's something completely different. We talked with Department of Public Health staff years ago, and from their standpoint, anything that would be...
Can I clarify the question? This is Harvey Packard. I think your question was, is there a difference between the treatment that will go to the Broderson and Bayard sites versus reuse?
Well, yeah, based on the description of one being reuse and one being groundwater recharge.
Well, there's only one process for the whole plant, and all water that's treated at the wastewater facility will get tertiary treatment. So whether it goes to the leach fields or the reuse, it's going to be the same treatment, and it'll be tertiary Title 22.
So the label that David was using is simply as to its, target use, how it's being applied or how it's being reused.
Right. It's just where it's being used rather than how it's treated.
Okay.
None of the effluent is being used as recharge. It's either disposal or reuse.
Okay. So Broderson and Bay Ridge, those are
disposal locations.
Disposal.
And just to add to that, in other words, what I'm understanding you to say is that the treatment plant will treat to a level that will allow use for recycled water use or recharge, and the highest level would be, or disposal, and the highest level would be meeting the Title 22 Department of Public Health standards for tertiary treatment. And that's what the facility will do, so it can eventually be used for any of those uses.
Yes, absolutely. It opens up opportunities for reuse in the future, or irrigation in this case.
Okay. I have also a question.
Go ahead.
I believe that in California there are some other locations where recycled used water for agriculture did not go through denitrification because nitrates is beneficial to agriculture, and then actually the nitrate content is monitored and then adjusted in the nitrogen balance for the crop irrigation. It also reduced the cost of denitrification of the water. So are we not considering that because of cost of infrastructure and, you know, the potential added cost of having to segregate different treatment of water, to your knowledge?
Yes, you're exactly correct. There's only one treatment process, and it does include denitrification. Therefore, even the water that's sent for reuse will have low nitrogen levels. And that's a cost issue. You can't. It'd be much more expensive to build the two treatment processes, one for reuse and one for disposal.
Okay. Dr. Hunter.
Yeah, I just want to get a little more detail on the distinction between disposal and recharge, because I think basin plan, and also, I'm not sure in the report, but, you know, considering the problem of seawater intrusion, it seems that Brodersen and Baywood both are being considered in terms of recharge and maintaining some type of balance against the increasing rate of seawater intrusion. So why are we calling it disposal, and what's the reason for the distinction?
The distinction has to do with the legal definitions in Title 22 of reuse and recharge. If it's disposal, it has to meet our waste discharge requirements for protection of underlying groundwater. That doesn't mean that water that is disposed of there will not eventually recharge the aquifer, because it does. But for direct recharge of a drinking water aquifer, Title 22 has very specific and different treatment requirements. And what the process here is disposal, and then eventually that water is recharged into the aquifer and it is used eventually, but it goes through the natural treatment processes of the vadose zone and travel through the aquifers, and therefore doesn't meet the definition of recharge.
Okay, so a recharge design technically is different than Litchfield?
Correct.
Okay, and so prior that, at least the Brodersen was designed to be an injection system. Do you know if that's still the case, or if it's actually a leach field?
I'm not sure it was ever injection. These are shallow leach fields.
No, it was injection. But, okay, so now it's leach fields.
It's shallow leach fields now.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, I'll go ahead and continue. The proposed treatment facility will receive an average daily flow of 1.2 million gallons a day, which will include a combination of septage flows and flows from the service area. The treatment facility will include a bar screen, two parallel oxidation ditches. Wastewater will then go through secondary clarifiers. Tertiary filtration, in this case, in conversation with the county, we're taking a look at potentially cloth media filtration. However, their design hasn't been finalized yet. Ultraviolet disinfection. And then the disposal of this treated wastewater to the Brodersen and Bay Ridge leach fields. Again, as I as part of the overall wastewater project and what the county might be that they're subsequently going to propose some recycled water reuse at the various urban reuse areas, as I indicated in the map before, and some ag reuse areas as well. Solids handling will include a thickening process. And those examples of thickening processes are centrifuge with a polymer additive, flotation thickening, or gravity. This will allow for effective solids dewatering, which is the next step. Mechanical solids dewatering will decrease the moisture content, and they're looking for about 20% solids content. Examples of mechanical dewatering include a belt filter press or centrifuge as well. The residual supernatant that comes from the dewatering process will then go back to the headworks of the facility, and then the dewatered solids will be hauled off-site to a designated receiving location. So as I noted earlier, the proposed order that you have in front of you today is very similar to what we adopted in 2003. We've listed 17 modifications or additions in attachment 3 of your agenda packets. The effluent limitations for biochemical oxygen demand, total suspended solids, pH, and total nitrogen remain exactly the same as they were in the 2003 order. Further, these limitations are basically the same as other waste discharge requirements within our region. So same discharge requirements, monitoring, reporting, they're very similar. This is a standard template, standard provisions. So the next few slides, I'll discuss the changes from the 2003 order to what we see today. Staff added 3 different findings to the order, a discussion of seawater intrusion, the general order that exempts Martin Tract and Bayview Heights area, as well as a discussion of the statewide sanitary sewer system general order. In consultation with the Department of Public Health, recycled water specifications were updated to comply with Title 22. And for those board members that aren't familiar with Title 22, it is the California Code of Regulations that provide authority to the Department of Public Health to oversee recycled water uses as it relates to the protection of public health. So to continue, we added some provisions specific to pretreatment, salt and nutrient management planning and participation in the stakeholder process, stormwater infiltration from the abandoned septic systems, a discharge exemption, and the development of groundwater monitoring network plan for the disposal areas. Additions were also made to the monitoring program in response to public comments and as well as trying to be consistent with region-wide waste discharge requirements and current regulations. Effluent limitations now include the monitoring of total dissolved solids, sodium, and chloride. Recycled water monitoring now includes the monitoring of constituents of emerging concern, and this is consistent with the statewide recycled water policy as well as the 2011 Blue Ribbon Panel final report on the use of recycled water. So just as a quick note, CECs, if you're not aware of what they are, they include pharmaceuticals, personal care products, pesticides, industrial chemicals, all of which can be found in trace concentrations in treated wastewater. We also added some footnotes regarding disinfection or ultraviolet disinfection as well to the monitoring program. Groundwater monitoring now includes a staggered frequency sample, and we'll get into that in a little bit, and analysis of total organic carbon to further understand the disposal site's response to long-term disposal activities. So as far as the groundwater is concerned, here's a figure of the proposed groundwater monitoring scheme. We've divided the groundwater sampling into three monitoring frequencies. First, there are 14 semi-annual monitoring well locations, and these are located closer to the disposal areas. These will be sampled for depth to groundwater, total nitrogen, pH, and salts. We also identified two monitoring well locations which are adjacent to the disposal areas. So including all of the total nitrogen and everything else that they're going to be doing on a semi-annual basis. We're also going to include priority pollutants, which is specific and compliant with Title 22 Title 22 requirements. And we're also going to add the sampling of or the analysis of total organic carbon to those. And finally, 12 biennial monitoring locations. And so obviously those are a little bit further out from these disposal areas. These on a biennial basis will be sampled for depth of groundwater, total nitrogen, and various salts.
David, are these new wells that are going to be put in?
No, these are existing wells. In fact, this figure was obtained from the EIR and some of past groundwater monitoring and nitrogen monitoring studies that were done from Cleith and Associates. So, yeah, these are existing wells, but we figured we would stagger them and take a look at what kind of monitoring we can attach with these wells. So. Staff made the draft order available to the public on February 9, 2011. We received 11 comment letters, which are included in attachment 5 of your agenda package. Our responses focus mainly on the comments pertinent to the order, and the responses are in page 10 of the staff report. Just a couple things to add here. There was a comment letter from Angel Law that weren't included in your agenda package that you have in front of you today, as they are about 600 pages long. So they're pretty large, but we do have them on our website. On this agenda package, you can click on the link. It may take some time for these things to open because they are large, but they are available to the public. I also have printed out a few copies of the Angel Law cover letter, which is about 10 pages long, and it is available in the box in the back there. Lastly, we also received a late comment letter, April 28, 2011, regarding the project. The comment letter wasn't clear in addressing or commenting specifically on the waste discharge requirement at hand, but either way, we plan to respond to the comment. Public comments specific to the proposed waste discharge requirements include comments from Department of Public Health, which provided an update of recycled water specifications language for inclusion in Section C of the order. Just briefly, they talked about turbidity, ultraviolet disinfection, validation. Updates and additions to the recycled water specification section provide clarity and consistent with Title 22. Department of Public Health and Golden State Water Company also commented on groundwater monitoring in Section C and D, mainly the inclusion of constituents of emerging concern and ultraviolet monitoring. Public comments also included discussion of ag and urban recycled water reuse program and associated locations. And as I noted before, the county's recycled water reuse program, it's not available yet, and that the county or this recycled water may not be used until they have the appropriate discharge requirements in place. So that being said, the county will be required to develop an engineering report in accordance with Title 22 requirements. This is also in their recycled water specifications in the order. The engineering report will identify reuse locations, the irrigation conditions, signage, notifications, so on and so forth. Prior to any recycled water use, the county would need to apply for enrollment for a master reclamation permit, which is consistent with the California Water Code, or revisions to this order. So that kind of gives you folks at least a glimpse into what might be coming up here in order for the county to then start to utilize these potential reuse locations. So since the county accepted responsibility to design and construct the Los Osos Water Recycling Facility, there's been a lot of positive project momentum to reach this goal. You know, the county's been really successful in communicating with appropriate agencies in order to make this project a reality. So today is a great opportunity for you folks to take action and in support of a community-wide sewer system and a solution for water quality problems in the Los Osos area. So with that, we recommend the adoption of waste discharge requirements for the Los Osos Water Recycling Facility. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. I believe we also have some members of county staff here available for questions as well. Okay. Thank you.
Any board comments or questions at this point? Do you want to ask now?
The county isn't going to make any presentation today.
Well,
because I do have some questions.
We do have their card, so I was just asking if the board had any questions of staff
David.
Right now.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to know, because I have several questions I can save
some. Yeah, I have Mr. Gibson's card.
I'm just wondering if they're going to make a formal, like, planned presentation.
No. I don't believe so.
Okay.
Certainly it sounds like they have a comment card, so.
Okay. Well, I do have a couple questions for David. Back to monitoring. I noted in the report there's a table of changes to the order. One of those changes notes that you added upgradient monitoring. Can you talk about that? You didn't distinguish that in the monitoring plan and staggered cycle that you showed us.
Sure. This was actually a comment from Golden State Water, and it speaks to one of our provisions in the order itself. And I don't know if you have the order in front of you, but it talks about ensuring. Well, let me find this here real quick so I can make sure that I can reference this section for you folks.
Thank you. In your table, it refers to Section G11?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, in the order, in Section D, we talk about that the discharger shall not cause a significant increase in mineral constituent concentrations, and this needs to be determined by the comparison of samples collected from wells located upgradient and downgradient. And so we have this in the order, in the draft order that went out. Unfortunately, we didn't have anything at the time that had the that required the development of an upgradient well to monitor the disposal locations, and therefore we added this provision that talks about the monitoring well network of an upgradient well. So that's what we're asking them to do.
So depending on how many actual disposal locations there are ultimately?
Well, there are only two disposal locations, the Bay Ridge and the Broderson. So we're expecting some sort of a groundwater monitoring network plan based on those two disposal locations, yes.
And are there upgradient wells for those two locations, or are you talking about new wells?
We're asking for them to develop a plan that will require new wells, yeah.
Okay. And the disposal areas and reuse areas. So reuse, what kind of monitoring will we see at reuse? Will that include upgradient, downgradient? design or not?
Well, the monitoring that's going to come from the potential reuse locations mm-hmm. of the ag and the urban. Mm-hmm. Most of the monitoring is going to be basically end of pipe. So provided that they meet the recycle water standards, that will be the monitoring. With respect to turf irrigation and making sure it's irrigated, mm-hmm. they're only supposed to irrigate to an agronomic rate that's going to allow whatever the turf is that's receiving mm-hmm. This recycle water to basically take it all up so that there isn't any potential impacts to groundwater.
No.
That's another point. Thanks. Certainly, we do have the groundwater monitoring network that's going to show, monitoring over time with total nitrogen and salts, mm-hmm. and certainly looking at CECs as part of that groundwater monitoring too.
Okay. I noted there was at least one comment letter regarding reuse of school sites, which I know under Title 22 is allowed. And I have that same concern. I've spent time at Monarch Grove in the fields there. I think I've seen some of you out there with your kids. I have a grandson that plays T-ball. And I could tell you, and we go out on Saturday mornings to practice, and I could tell you that 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the grass is still soaking wet. I would really be concerned about that reuse for schools. And do we have anything to say about it, or what are the conditions? Can we add any conditions about the fog and different climate conditions in Los Osos that I think make it a different proposition than other inland areas might present?
Well, aside from staff responses that are in the staff report responding to that comment, I can just add that certainly the county is going to develop a reuse plan, and that reuse plan is going to include signage and times for irrigation, and certainly the ability to stop any reuse, provided that, if there's anything that happens within the operation. So the plan is going to be specific to these reuse locations, how they use it, when they use it, signage, and certainly protection of public health. This is a plan that will be reviewed and certainly approved by our board when we have something in front of us, but we are also going to have consultation and approval of these engineering reports with the Department of Public Health staff. So we're going to be working kind of, together on making sure that whatever recycle is going to be reused is going to be protective of public health.
We have the ability to add conditions if we deem them necessary. Is that part of the master reclamation plan?
We have the ability to do that, but certainly we would expect that the engineering report and whatever subsequent reuse plan is going to include some of those conditions. If those aren't included, certainly we can discuss those issues. You bring up a good point. Certainly climate out there.
That's my comment on that, and I know there were other comments that came in from other residents who know the same kind of climate issues that I do.
Dr. Hunter, just to add that the reclamation requirements will come before the board for approval, mm-hmm. and those kinds of conditions can be mm-hmm. considered.
That's what I was trying to understand.
Placing in that order.
Okay. How far along are we with the master reclamation plan? Has it gone through any kind of public review yet, or do we know?
Not yet, and not through our agency. We haven't seen anything at this point. I know that the county is going to do a few steps before we see something. One of the steps, I believe, is to comply with their coastal development permit and develop a reuse plan. That's kind of their first step, and certainly the county can add more detail since they're here, mm-hmm. but this was just in our discussion. The second step is to then develop the reuse plan so that they can receive some additional recycled water grant funding from the state, and so that's going to be a forthcoming application. And then after that, of course, those two documents, we can imagine certain elements of those documents being used for an engineering report and then subsequently an application to us for a master reclamation permit. Well, really it's a WDR, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Any other board comments? Mr. Hayashi.
Could you go back to that slide where something you said we could either put it as part of this or go to the state master what on the discharge, the master reclamation plant permit? What do you have any idea which way that staff's leaning to go on this?
Not at this point. So not at this point. We've seen various iterations of this, certainly with other municipalities that produce recycled water. They also have a separate master reclamation permit. There are some facilities that produce recycled water, and they have a language within their permits or orders that allow them.
Master reclamation is directly with the state.
It is through us.
It is through us.
Yeah, this board would they have to propose it, submit an application, and this board adopts.
So irregardless which way it goes, we could look at it at any time.
Right. Yes.
So correct.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's not a state general permit.
Okay.
Okay, the tertiary treatment, I take it, is geared specifically for denitrification, or not? What is its purpose? Because, you know, tertiary treatment can be very specific to whatever components you're trying to remove.
Well, the tertiary filtration or tertiary filtration will be specific to the removal of solids. We're trying to bring, in accordance with the Title 22 recycled water specifications, we're trying to bring a turbidity number down and solids down to a certain extent so that when it does go through disinfection, it'll be more effective.
I think that, aren't you asking if denitrification is a different part of the treatment, right? Or is it part of tertiary treatment?
Denitrification will occur through the oxidation disc, extended aeration, the parallel oxidation ditch treatment train. So see if I can get back here.
You know, one definition of tertiary is anything beyond standard secondary treatment.
That's what I'm
saying.
So getting
from
at.
That standpoint, you could say denitrification is a form of tertiary treatment in addition to the filtration being a form mm-hmm. of tertiary treatment because it's beyond secondary.
Okay.
Beyond typical secondary.
So this tertiary, this added level of tertiary treatment, is it filtration? Membrane filtration.
Correct.
Or something of that nature? Okay.
Yeah, they were considering, I believe, something to the effect of a media or cloth media filtration. There's other types of tertiary filtration,
but like sand,
I believe City of San Luis Obispo has a sand filtration.
Okay.
But that allows it, you're right, Roger's correct in that we're going beyond the secondary standards for treatment.
All right. Should we proceed to our speaker cards? Okay. Mr. Gibson. Wherever you feel more comfortable.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. A pleasure again to be before you. I am Bruce Gibson, Second District Supervisor for the County of San Luis Obispo, and I have with me today John Waddell, who is the project manager and can speak to a number of the specific technical issues that you've been discussing so far. I want to first start by thanking staff, Mr. Licaro, Mr. Packard, worked closely with our staff in the development of the item before you today, as well as all the way through this process. I think the collaboration has been excellent and quite productive. As you know, on March 15th, our Board of Supervisors did pass a resolution to proceed, the culmination of 4 years plus of very hard work. We are now officially responsible for the construction and the operation of this facility.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I would pass along. Yes, please pass along our thanks to previous members of the board who are now in retirement. I would say just briefly, and John can speak more specifically, we are supportive of the waste discharge requirements before you, including the strategy to the requirement to work on a strategy on on-site wastewater management issues. We look forward to cooperating with the Community Services District, your staff, and others as we work forward. Obviously, not a central issue to the operation of this recycling facility. We can, as I indicated, speak on a number of technical details. I think your discussion previously did clarify the issues of recharge versus disposal. Recharge, a very specific term of art that was never really considered part of this process, largely because of its cost and its added environmental impact. The tertiary treatment of this effluent, which is required in our coastal development permit, goes beyond your typical requirements for treatment for disposal. It was a very important idea that the Coastal Commission brought up, that we then do indeed have options for how we reuse and recycle this water, and we're looking forward to take full advantage of it. Were we to go to a system that actually officially recharged, we would then come under the Department of Public Health. In essence, we would have to reverse treat this with reverse osmosis, which is expensive on the one hand, but also creates a brine that then needs to be disposed of someplace else on the other. And again, John can get into the details of that. I would say that, as with the previous community services project, the disposal at Broderson and now adding the disposal at the Bay Ridge leach field has always been the means of disposal here. We had never contemplated direct injection. I would like then, just in closing, to touch on one item that is part of this project but not so directly related to your consideration of the WDRs today. Following the action on March 15th, I did send a letter to your chair asking that now the county is fully responsible for the execution of this project, that your board consider rescinding the CDOs issued to individuals, those actions referenced on page 10 of your staff report. I do believe that that would be an important statement to the community. It will help us as we move forward with the many complex tasks we have ahead of us with construction and operation. I do understand from talking with Ms. McChesney and others that this may require some consideration of your board. You're obviously not agendized to take that action today, but I would very much appreciate at some point a formal response on that question. And with that, both Mr. Waddell and I are happy to answer any of your questions and delve into any of the when I say we are happy to delve into some of the technical details, I really mean John is happy to delve into some of the technical details, if that's where you'd like to go.
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Chair Young. Thank you, Supervisor Gibson. Always happy to see you. And John, glad to see you too. So I have a couple areas of questions. First, on the reuse issue and disposal, and then I do want to ask a few questions about seawater intrusion, although I realize we've determined that we have no mechanism, no tool to actually help or assist with resolving that issue. But just as a point of information in terms of how the plant is going to deal with any potential impacts to that, increasing the rate of seawater intrusion. So on reuse, can you tell me, is there a contingency for those leach fields? I realize we've come out of years of drought here, but, you know, in the reverse condition of heavy seasonal rains, are there contingency, are there additional leach field or ponding storage? What are we doing in heavy rainy years?
Well, yes, the contingency is that the leach fields were originally designed for the CSD project to handle twice the flows that we're planning to put on the leach fields. So, and the soil conditions can percolate even a much higher rate than that. So, the soil is very, high percolation rate. It's a big sand dune. The project was designed by the CSD to handle 800,000 gallons a day, an average of almost 900 acre feet a year. The project that's before you today and that we're permitted on, we're actually planning to, we're going to be applying 448 acre feet a year, an average of 400,000 gallons a day. So we are at, you know, at half the design rate, and then so that we really have quadruple redundancy at the leach fields. The leach fields were designed to handle 800 acre feet a day, and they had complete redundancy. We're only using half of that. An additional contingency are the storage ponds. We're going to have 50 acre feet of storage, which is several weeks of storage. So again, mm-hmm. during a really heavy rain event, we have the ability to store treated wastewater on site at the treatment plant.
Okay. I'm curious about that reduction of 400,000 a day at Brodersen. It's the only one I'm really familiar with. Bay Ridge, I don't know when that was added. But I thought that the reduction was made due to the technical analysis of the capacity of the site.
No, it wasn't. The site was going to receive 800,000 gallons a day, and that was the site could handle it. The concern was the groundwater impacts down by the bay in the low-lying areas
right.
over a number of years.
Right.
The CSD had a plan to install a number of wells and pump about half of that water back out and find other uses for it. So to eliminate that, the well scheme down by the bay, mm-hmm. we reduced the disposal rate at Brodersen.
So what kind of monitoring will you be doing there to confirm that the recharge disposal rate is going to work?
Well, that's there's a number of wells that are going to be installed as part of the project directly below Brodersen. So they will measure the height of the water,
down.
The mound of the water. So in addition to the monitoring and the waste discharge requirements for water quality, we're going to have monitoring wells directly down gradient of Brodersen, you know, measuring the mound of water that is underground and making sure that it stays at acceptable levels.
Okay. So, and now the reuse commitments, how far are you with those?
The reuse commitments? We've been in discussions both on the urban side with schools, golf course, parks, and are moving forward on all of those with agreeable entities for reusing the water. On the agricultural side, we have a number of property owners and growers that are interested. We are moving slower and with a more formal process on the ag side. We would like to get, you know, basically because the potential there for, there's multiple landowners out there and potentially a lot of interest. We want to make sure that everyone is given the opportunity to participate and express their interest, because when we ultimately then sign agreements with users, we need to have a set process on how we arrived at that. And giving everyone a chance. So we're moving forward in a slow and deliberate process, but we have quite a bit of interest.
Any possibility for ag exchange, or is that not part of this?
That's not part of the discussions right now.
Do you expect it to be?
Not in the near term. We expect that it's a potential in the future, but right now we want to ensure the property owners and the farmers that, you know, they're going to maintain their water rights and that water, recycled water reuse, would potentially be lead to a reduced pumping. But that ag exchange and returning any unused water in the ag area to the urban area is really a discussion that would be led by the purveyors. They would be the ones that would be receiving that water.
And I would only add, and I think your colleagues from the agricultural section would confirm, since this idea of using recycled water is new in this particular part of this county, we need to build the trust. We do believe we can get there. So we're not talking about ag exchange. We're very respectful of the water rights of the individuals who would be using this water. And as we get down the line, that may be part of the discussion if it seems to be a suitable solution.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But yeah, it would be nice, and kind of transitioning over into the seawater intrusion issue. I saw the basin management plan update that was issued in May, and it looks like the rate of seawater intrusion is really accelerating, a rapid rate. I think in the last 3 years it's gone up almost 300 acre feet per year. But one figure that I found among the memos, technical memos, that the county has issued, is that the projection that a centralized collection system could actually increase the seawater intrusion rate by about 90 acre feet per year. Can you comment on that, John, and how is the design of the system going to try to offset that?
Yes. So the analysis, the technical analysis and included in the environmental impact report, did indicate that by collecting the septic flows, those, you know, have a certain mitigation of seawater intrusion. So there's the potential for 90 acre feet of per year of additional seawater intrusion. That's mitigated in several ways. Broderson and returning wastewater at Broderson mitigates that to the tune of about 100 acre feet a year. The recycled water reuse to the urban areas, the urban reuse program that will reduce pumping of the groundwater basin and will mitigate in about an additional 100 acre feet a year. And then the water conservation program, which is going to save a large amount of water, will also mitigate seawater intrusion well over 100 acre feet a year. So we're mitigating more than a 3-to-1 ratio.
Okay. And that's actually my last question was on conservation. How are you factoring in conservation and the necessary flow rate for the operation of the plant? I've seen that question come up a number of times. I don't know that I understand.
Well, the plant has been approved by through Coastal and permitted based on a conservative estimate of flows based on current flow rates that are anticipated. So, but then conservation would, you know, reduce those flow rates over time.
Right.
And so that will allow additional redundancy and operational efficiency at the treatment plant by the reduced flows. But the plant's being designed conservatively based on current flow rates.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm not clear. Is the plant designed to operate at a minimum flow level that would be achieved in through a conservation program?
It will
accommodate it.
Right.
Okay. So the community won't find itself in this, you know, catch 22, can't conserve because our operation of our plant would be in jeopardy.
No, and part of the, you know, one of the big things there is whatever treatment process, and we're permitted for a couple different options on extended aeration, oxidation ditch is one of them, having two parallel tanks. So if, you know, at during low flow times, whether it's long-term with conservation or just seasonal, you know, flows can be directed into one tank and handle lower flows. At higher needs, you're running both. And typically, you also with the extended aeration process, I mean, it can handle low flows, it just stays.